Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I'm your host, Mike Jokum. The worst guest co-host ever is joining us. He's been made fun of a lot over the years. So, Cody, first off, how would you, you haven't really gotten a chance for a rebuttal other than like texting me. So would you like to rebut anything I said?
I don't want to make you have to bleep a lot of things.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
thank you. I'll just leave it in the text.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. So obviously Frenchie got married this weekend, as we said. So he's off somewhere warm on a beach right now. Still sending me Instagram reels, by the way. So Frenchie, please go enjoy your vacation with your new wife and go enjoy, like go relax and don't worry about Instagram. And but he did send me the predictions, which we'll get to at some point. But I do have a good story. I said this a little bit on the NASCAR episode that I just finished recording. The wedding was great. It's fantastic. I don't understand how the other groomsmen all could stay up till 3 a.m. after the wedding. Because when the wedding was, there was like 10 minutes left in the wedding. Girlfriend and I looked at each other. I was like, do you want to go? And she's like, I'm pretty tired. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty tired. And I've had a copious amount of tequila at this point. So let's just go home. And then we get back to the hotel and we both like, let's turn on the TV and like hang out. And we got maybe 8 seconds into like whatever, you know, TV movie was on and she was asleep. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to bed. So yeah, great weekend, right? You know, I said in the group chat that like I had a story about my weekend, how it ended. We get off the train in Philly and we get into a taxi. We're like, you know what? Taxi's right here. Like, let's not worry about calling an Uber. And so Cody, I'm going to ask you a trivia question. Just like I asked my NASCAR guests, this is not a trick question. Even you can answer this one. So Mike, there's a road with a traffic cone in front of it that looks like the road is closed. Nobody else is on it. Would you A, get out of the car and move the cone and just drive down it anyway? Or B, would you proceed to find a different route?
In my normal car, I'd probably just find a different route. In
yep.
You know, my work vehicle, screw it. Go down the street, see what happens.
Yeah, so the cab driver gets out of, I didn't tell this in a great way when we were recording, when I was recording NASCAR earlier, because I'm exhausted and I think just kind of like in one of those like overly tired cranky moods. So he gets out of he stops the car on a busy road. Every road in Philadelphia is busy, but this one is like right outside of the train station where, you know, there's tons of Amtrak trains and regional rail trains and the subway, and so there's people everywhere. He gets out and we're looking at each other like, WTF is happening right now? And then he gets back in the car, moves the cone, and he looks at us and he goes, if cops stop me, tell them you didn't see anything wrong with it. And we were like, sure, okay, mm-hmm. And full well knowing, and we both said this afterwards, if the cops said anything to us, we were completely and 100% snitching immediately. So we get another 100 feet and naturally the cops pull us over. Like instantly, the cop comes down the lane we are driving in. He's like, you know what? Screw you. He's very angry. And sometimes I'm like, okay, you know what? You got to relax, bro. But like, I kind of get this one because not only did we go down that road, somebody else followed us who then now is getting a ticket because of us. Not because of me or my girlfriend,
right, because of a taxi driver. Yeah.
So this guy is now trying to smooth talk his way out of a ticket and also not giving the cop his registration or something like that. So at this point, we are both thinking this cabbie's going to get arrested while we sit in the back. Like the cop is screaming. Finally, he gives him all his information and the cop says, you know, you'll get a citation in the mail within 15 days. And this moron then goes, don't mail it. He's literally shouting out the window with his head out the window to the cop. Don't mail it. Don't mail it. And so, you know, all right, we're off to a weird start. It's disturbing. I'm texting my girlfriend 2 feet away from me. Like, are you comfortable in this cab? Do we need to get out and get another one? It's okay. We can take the subway, whatever. She says, let's just stay. You know, we're already in here. Okay. Now, there's a lot of traffic in Philly always, but especially when roads are closed because the St. Patrick's Day parade. Why is the St. Patrick's Day parade a week early? I don't understand that one either, but that's not why we're why we're here. And so this guy, two or three other times, nearly gets us decapitated by getting T-boned. We don't get T-boned. We get very lucky multiple times. And it takes us a half hour to go about a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. So it was a very frustrating end to like a really fun weekend. So it was just one of those. It was like, I haven't had a story like this since like I had to yell at that Uber in Long Beach in 2022, when, you know, why I won't go back to Long Beach now. So now that I've gotten that out of the way with, what did you think of? Oh, before we talk about IndyCar, I didn't watch F1. I have no intention of watching F1, but I know K-Mag did something that like people are talking about. So educate me.
So K-Mag was running, I don't know, outside the points area, yeah. And whatever the Haas teammate was running inside the points.
Hulkenberg.
So K-Mag pulls a ridiculous move on Tsunoda, like all four wheels off in a corner. Don't ask me which one. There's 27 of them at Jeddah. All four wheels off, gets passed. I don't know if he got told over the radio to get the position back, but eventually they just gave him 10 seconds worth of penalties.
Sure, sure.
Okay, but you didn't have to cede the position back to Tsunoda.
Okay.
So then they did the normal F1 thing and had a DRS train behind K-Mag for basically mm-hmm. the rest of the race. And K-Mag just kept going slower and slower to get his teammate into the points. Because right now with F1, I know you haven't been watching, but if you're not obviously a Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Aston Martin, or Mercedes, if one of those don't retire, you're not going to score points. Like, yeah. Those are the best five teams by a long shot. So Stroll hits the wall.
Yep.
And K-Mag starts backing people up, ends up getting another 10-second penalty for
fantastic
like traffic extending or something. So he's got 20 seconds worth of penalties. And then backs everybody up. So his Haas teammate jumps everybody. Haas gets a point. So now they're in sixth in the constructors because they have a point.
All right. Well,
like I said, if someone out of the top five doesn't finish, so they're in sixth in the points, and K-Mag, the 20 seconds of penalties don't matter because he was the only one not to get lapped out of that DRS train. So he kept his 12th or 13th place finish and got the 20 seconds penalty applied, but everyone behind him was a lap down.
So,
you should have seen the other look of disgust on host's face right there.
It was irritating to read when I like read an article about it after you texted me about this the other day. And it was like irritating to read. It was even more irritating to hear about.
Yeah.
It's like they need to like.
Like, I don't know if the 10 yeah. second penalty, if it was supposed to be a 5 and then it was a 10 because he didn't cede the position back to Tsunoda.
Sure, sure.
But I'm like, but it should have been a drive-through if he's not going to cede the place back to Tsunoda.
Yeah, like what is their purpose? I know the purpose is it's Haas because they yeah. and then we're just going to do whatever we want.
Because you get the 6 in the constructors. I mean, that's a incredible for Haas.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We have to go totally off topic here because I just saw potentially one of the most ridiculous tweets of all time. And then we're going to get to the race. There's practically no news because there's no race until Thermal Club in a couple weeks. So we don't have much news to get to. Spotter Brett Griffin, who's, I don't know, some NASCAR spotter, has a podcast, talks about stuff. And he says, I may catch a lot of shit from y'all for saying this, but Bob Pockrass, NASCAR reporter, is more famous than half of the current IndyCar drivers. So, curious as to your take for Bob Pockrass.
He's not wrong. I mean, what the three Penske drivers you could maybe say out, maybe not even McLaughlin, maybe the two, Newgarden and Power.
I would say Newgarden, Power, McLaughlin,
Dixon.
maybe in a couple years.
Yeah.
Dixon, I would not. Dixon, I would say no because of his personality, and it's not a bad personality. It's just that's
He's
Scott
very
Dixon.
he yeah, he's very Scott Dixon.
I think you could say Pato or maybe Pato soon, but Pato's definitely up there.
Pato's definitely up there because he got the F1 test and that kind of.
Pillow is
Same with
probably up
Pillow,
there. Yeah.
especially with all the contract
Yeah.
stuff too.
Yeah, exactly.
And then.
Maybe Canapino because of Argentina support.
Yeah, but that's still not that as much as, you
Yeah.
know. I mean, Tony Kanaan would probably have more.
Tony, I think Tony Kanaan, if he was a current IndyCar driver, would
Yeah.
be more popular. But I guess kind of now talking through it, it's not as ridiculous as I thought. It's actually
No, I know who
not
Bob
far off.
Pockrass is, and I don't. I tried to watch it the minimum amount of NASCAR as possible. And I mainly only know Bob Pockrass because of does the track have lights?
I used to once in a while send that tweet, but now that Frenchie and I talk NASCAR once a week, I try not to do that because I don't want negative attention brought to me. So yeah, it's not yeah. I want to tell you guys real quick about the easiest way to get some action on any of the major sports right now, including motorsports. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick 'em game. Just pick higher or lower on your favorite or maybe your least favorite players or driver stats, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile app. All you need to do, pick between two and five players to fill out your pick 'em entry. Get every pick right, and you're taking home some serious money. Maybe enough that you can buy an IndyCar team or give them some money for maybe some marketing. All you need to use is the promo code PLP and get your first deposit doubled by up to $500 by Underdog. Some points on why you want to use Underdog versus everything else out there. It's the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. You don't need to worry about waivers or trades or lineup setting. You can draft your team in a couple minutes and you're done. Like I mentioned, you sign up with the promo code PLP, click the link in the show notes each and every week going forward on this show, and your first deposit will be doubled. In other words, you deposit $100, you're getting $100 free. Check them out, guys. We will try to do as many pick'em sections in this show as possible each week going forward to give you our insight. We will share what we're picking, maybe even if it's other sports if you guys are interested. Anyway, Underdog Fantasy Sports, check them out now. Okay, very interesting. So let's see here. Let's go to predictions. We're gonna do predictions. We're gonna talk very briefly about the race, and then I'm gonna go to sleep. So let's see here. Pole winner. I had Alex Rossi miss the ball on that one. He started 15th, got caught in traffic during qualifying. Frenchie had Colton Herta, also did not get that right. We're off to a bad start. Good weekend. Frenchie had Graham Rahal, who finished 16th, didn't qualify well. I'd say no. I had Callum Ilott, who finished 13th, started 16th or 17th. I wouldn't say it's a bad weekend, but I also wouldn't say it's a very
I mean,
interesting weekend.
from getting thrown in basically last minute, take it.
Yeah, it's a fine weekend. I guess you could give me the win on that one, but not like an exciting win. Bad weekend. Frenchie had Rinus VeeKay, who finished
Yeah,
10th.
he's good.
And I think that's fine, even though he qualified better and was running up there. I also
He
noticed that,
did fine in an ECR car. I mean,
And I also noticed motorsport.com and some other places are now calling him, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but by his actual European last name, Van blah, blah, blah.
yeah.
Again, not going to attempt to pronounce that, but yeah. So, okay, that's that. My bad prediction was Agustin Canapino finished 18th, punted somebody at one point, spun. I'd say that's the definition of a pretty
Yeah, cooked it
poor
going to try to
weekend.
make a pass on Ilott late in the race.
So not too good there. The TV numbers across racing are very interesting right now. F1 is in the toilet. Not in the toilet, but I'm close to thinking that F1, the bubble has burst here in America.
they're down, but it was also Saturday the last 2 weeks instead of Sunday morning. So some of the, you know,
so give it more time. That, okay.
Yeah, and I think it was on ESPN2, one of them. So it's like wasn't on.
No idea.
Yeah. Some people just turn on ESPN and it's whatever is on. So.
Yeah, and IndyCar was a little, I would say a little troubling, because this is the first season opener at St. Pete that it's been like down more than like, you know, I think last year it was like flat year over year or maybe up like 2%. But I'm also, after one race, not totally willing to be, to, you know, to throw red flags up and say, oh my God, everything is terrible. It's concerning.
Yeah.
Because the next race is Thermal Club. Wow. And I think Thermal Club TV numbers are going to be terrible. And then, so it's like, really, you have to give it until like, so Barber and Long Beach are probably, Barber, Long Beach are in May, I think, or in April, because I'll be away for both of those.
Let's say Long Beach is on USA, so who knows?
That's not good.
Barber, Grand Prix, Indy 500 are all on NBC, so.
What channel is, you might have just said, you said the Grand Prix is on NBC? Before the 500. Yeah, so I think you have to get, like, Indy 500, you can't count in the rate, and like in talking about ratings, because it's always going to be decent. Anyway, NASCAR numbers are solid, but, you know, again, it's still early enough in the year that I'm curious to see how it's all going to play out. But the race, the weekend itself, I didn't watch any practice. I watched about 10 minutes of practice Saturday morning before I had to do groomsman duties and get ready and take pictures and all that fun stuff. But I like St. Pete because sometimes it produces a chaotic race.
Yeah.
And it's a tough track, but I don't think it was that exciting this weekend.
No, it was pretty, you know, just Newgarden led a lot of laps. I think part of the issue was the Firestone was trying to make a tire that was to survive more weight because they're supposed to have the hybrid. So they made a stronger tire, and that kind of screwed the tire strategies, whether you wanted to be on so the tires didn't fall off. So you weren't having that, you know, greens versus blacks fall off that normally happens. And then the cautions kind of threw it weird to where it was more like fuel saving rather than go. And there wasn't a, like Mid Ohio was for those couple years where it was like right in between a two and a three stop. So there were, you know, 15 people on one strategy and 12 people on the other. And
somebody
was just doing the same thing.
Somebody said, I don't know if it was on the broadcast or in an interview or something afterwards, that they should add 10 laps to the race in order to, you know, make it so where you can't do a two stopper.
Yeah.
And I am all for that. You don't need to, you know, an extra 10 laps is, even if there's a late caution, you know, all right, maybe you add 10, 15 minutes to the, you know, 20 minutes to the TV window. I think, especially if it's a USA Peacock only, whatever race, you've got the time. If it's NBC, maybe, maybe not. But for the first race of the year, I'm pretty sure they had the TV window.
Yeah, because I think they led into NASCAR pre-race or something pre-race. Maybe it wasn't NASCAR. NASCAR's on Fox right now.
It was college basketball, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember.
I mean, obviously, I didn't watch. Oh, I did watch it live. I was very tired. Obviously, I had, you know, I was out late. We've been over that.
Yeah, I went to the museum with the kids and then was like watching on my phone for part of it and, you know, rewatched it last night. So, I mean, I don't know. They can add 10 laps, but they could also change the fuel cell size because they've talked about that, doing that for Indy, because Indy turns into that fuel saving thing. And they're like, well, why don't we just make it either smaller or bigger? And we either, you know, push it, or because we're right in between that, you know, 6-7 stops.
That's a good point. I'd be okay with that. And I feel like that's something that can, it is not a major change that needs a kind of patchwork thing to be done before, you know, this vaunted new chassis comes out sometime between now and the end of time. So, which, by the way, I am not confident it's going to be 2027, but I'm also not knocking IndyCar for that. I just don't know if I believe it's going to be 2027 right now.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, they have to do it at some point, but with car numbers being super strong, it's like, do you really, is there a chance of losing teams? Is there a chance of, but how many teams want to come in and they can't come in because they're like, we're just going to wait on a new chassis?
Yeah, sorry, my motorsport.com started playing automotive ads because I scrolled over it by mistake. I think that's a fair point. All right, real quick, before we ramble on for a little bit longer here, is there really anybody else you can pick for driver of the weekend other than Joseph Newgarden?
No, I mean,
yeah,
you lead, 92 laps he led? 90-something laps? And
yeah, 92.
People kept calling that like a boring race, and it's like, yeah, sure, but I also enjoy watching guys dominate.
I don't think it was boring. I just don't think it was, you know, it's part of it's exciting because it's the first race back. So it like always to me is a little bit of a buffer if it's a really boring race. But was it a particularly memorable race? I wouldn't say so, because like I said to you before I hit record, I don't totally remember a bunch of what happened, and I watched all but the first 3.5 laps, you know, Sunday afternoon when I got back. But I am not trying to take away from your point in that domination is sometimes satisfying to see, unless you are like a vaunted Penske hater.
Yeah, or you're Max Verstappen right now. Like, it's okay. It's different. Cool when it happens occasionally, but when it's, you know, happens every race, it, you know, if Newgarden won, outside of Christian being excited, if Newgarden won 17 races this year, people would be over it.
Ooh, yeah, that would definitely not.
You know, 15 to 30 seconds every race.
All right. On the flip side, I think we have some interesting picks for who had a dismal weekend to start the year. So who is your bad driver of the weekend?
Canapino. I mean,
okay,
he was trying to make a move on iLot and just cooked it, and then ended up in the tire barrier, didn't he? Or like, because the rest of them seem like,
yeah, or the runoff. Yeah, I forget exactly. Yeah. What
outside of, you know, who's your pick before I start rambling again?
Yeah, so I'm going to give it to Romain Grosjean, because while on the TV interview after his accident, he was like, oh, you know, that was my bad. He also said a couple things like, I don't know why. Who was it? Who did he hit? Was it
Lundqvist?
Linus? Yeah, it was Linus. Yeah. He was like, oh, Linus broke later. I thought he would give me space. It's like, you're, even though on the TV interview when he was like, oh, you know, it's my mistake, like, I felt like that was very tongue-in-cheek, and
yeah,
it's typical Grosjean. He hasn't changed. He's going to be the same driver all year. You know, he qualified very well, and you might see a surprise top 10 here or there, but do I think he is a better fit for that team than Callum Ilott? No. Still no. Still can't convince me on that one, but nope. So Grosjean is my pick there. You said you were going to... You had a ramble, so
please. I was gonna ramble, yeah, on Grosjean.
Too. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm like, because he overcooked it, and Linus turned in like no one was there because no one should have been there. I mean,
right,
outside,
right,
of that, like no one should have been there, and then, you know, at least he, whether it was tongue in cheek or he actually meant it, he, you know, saw the replay, because I can't, people replaying the end cars like, oh my god, and it's like, they were sitting in the car. They don't get a chance to watch it on slow-mo.
Yeah, yeah.
And people overreact to that so often.
The slow-mo replays are a little silly. Like, I get why they're there. Sorry. Frenchie is texting me nonsense, and it's got me very distracted.
Tell him, so, he's supposed to be on his honeymoon, not texting,
yeah,
us.
Yeah, he's on Twitter. I think he's scrolling through Twitter right now. So,
oh my god.
Anyway, yeah, I had a further point to move. Oh, hey, and not, moving on from Grosjean. I guess not totally moving on from Grosjean. it's like at the beginning of Andretti when we were like, oh, this is a new and improved Romain Grosjean. He's going to win a race. And look, he's getting along with everybody. And then like 3 months later, he was, you know, a complete nightmare to deal with. And that didn't change. So I feel like it's only a matter of, like, he's got his like best behavior on because it's like, you know, a new school year and you got to impress the teacher. And pretty soon, you know, it's yeah. So my other point, and I get it's probably entertaining to some people, and you might have missed some of this because you said you had to watch the race at the museum with your kids, but the broadcast was very like, you know, Lee Diffie is making hall pass jokes about his wife and John Bon Jovi, and it was like kind of a chaotic and like all over the place broadcast. Like, you know, we talked more about stuff that wasn't going on the track, like Rinus getting married and his wife and like everybody getting married and having kids. And it was like, guys, there's stuff going on track right now. Like, this is pre-race stuff. It was a very odd broadcast to me from IndyCar.
And they had a decently long pre-race, too. And it wasn't a 20, 30 minute pre-race to cover. I saw people tweeting about that. They were angry that it's like, we want to focus on racing. It's like, you can't market the drivers outside of the race. You got to market inside the race too, at least a little bit. Like it was a little bit,
yeah.
It seemed like it was a little overboard. Like it was, you know, three laps covering Pillow and having a kid. And it's like, yeah, it's exciting. Trust me, done it three times. Having a kid's awesome, but it's also we got to focus on the race. And maybe there just wasn't a battle going on someplace because NBC's pretty good about flipping through the field and trying to find, even if it's for 20th.
Yeah, right.
They'll find a battle to go see.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't know how long the pre-race was because that was during my taxi cab adventure. So while I probably wouldn't have watched pre-race anyway because I usually don't, I didn't have the chance because I was thinking in my head, oh, we'll be home in time. I'll just turn it on when we get back. And obviously that was slowed by my idiot cab driver. So let's see here. I'm just going to make sure we're not missing any IndyCar news. Is there anything else from this weekend, practice, qualifying, or the race that you thought was interesting?
It's like the top. What was the I can't remember now. The transfer to get from into the round two, the top 12 was like ridiculously small, like it always is. But I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for Lundgaard, was it, that he had a tire puncture on the first lap, and that's just never the way you want to start a season. Yep. Like, he ended up leading laps in some middle because he was off on strategy, but it's like, God, it's not the way you want to start, especially
and he was, you know, so close to like salvaging a good result, and then he had to pit with like two or three laps left to top off on fuel, which ruined it. But I guess I watched like the first 12 laps of the Indy Lights race on the train before I dozed off, but I'll just run through the top five, where Nolan Siegel, Jacob Abel, Lewis Foster, Michael Dory-Orlando, who was only confirmed for this weekend, Rhys Gold and Rhys Gold. Is anybody notable towards the bottom? Jamie Chadwick. I think she got run into by Josh Pearson at some point, so she didn't have a particularly outstanding day. Jack William Miller, the Dennis kid, also had contact. Niels Kuhlin. I don't even know some of these guys. There's so many, which is a good thing. There's so many Indy Lights drivers that, you know, when HMD has a team of 77, there's just going to be some guys that I don't know who they are. But
yeah, I'm just glad it's more than, you know, seven eight. Running around. Yeah,
I think it's going to be an interesting year. I think Nolan Siegel, Louis Foster, they're maybe Jacob Abel because he ran really strong, especially like the second half of last year, I think are maybe your championship contenders. Maybe you might see a surprise, but I think those would be my picks right now.
Sure, I haven't been able to watch Indy next yet, so
I guess this is not a well-researched thought. And I really wonder, like, what's his name? Hunter McElroy. You know, he's doing the endurance races for LMP2, but he has nothing planned otherwise this year. And I'm afraid already that like he is in the unfortunate category of guys like Aaron Tielitz and Parker Thompson and insert other driver that like is super talented, has typically good road to Indy results, and then just doesn't have budget, or you know, has a bad end to the year or something and goes nowhere. Yeah, and
there's not a team waiting for him. And
yeah,
yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah, I mean, you could go through the list for the last, you know, last decade and a half and find guys that's like, oh, those guys, and you look at them and they've had a successful career elsewhere, but it's always unfortunate when they don't get to the top step.
Yeah. And okay, well, is there anything else you think I should bring up?
The Lionheart doc on HBO.
Oh, yeah. Lionheart doc. It's out as of 12 minutes ago as Cody and I sit here and record. Are you watching it?
I don't know if I want to cry tonight, so we will
see. I'm not watching it tonight. Yeah, I am with you on that one. I will be watching it. We kind of have like a weirdly busy weekend, but I want to watch it this weekend when I am at the girlfriend's apartment, because I will not watch that by myself.
Yeah.
So I will watch it.
I'm going to try to convince the wife to watch it, but she doesn't like racing very much. So it's going to be a hard sell. But I think if I watch the Taylor Swift thing, she'll owe me one.
Yeah, the one that comes out in like 2 days or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it comes out on Disney Thursday or Friday or something. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's I'd say that's reasonable. I don't think I'm going to be made to watch that, but I'm also not complaining. But I would do it. I would do the same thing, because she did sit and watch the race with me on Sunday, and is interested enough to be like, oh yeah, I remember his name, but his car looks different this year, or like, oh, who is that? Colin Braun guy, like I don't remember that name from the end of last year. So I appreciated the fact that like she's at least trying to be somewhat like casually interested in what I'm interested in. Is she ever going to be a huge racing fan? Probably not. Are her and her best friend going to come on and ask ridiculous racing, not ridiculous, like ask racing questions and make like a fun podcast out of it at some point? Yes, we've been literally me, my girlfriend, and Frenchie have been talking about that for a couple months now, and life has gotten in the way and it hasn't happened, but at some point it will happen.
Yeah, my wife, she's over it. I took her to the 100th run of the Indy 500 and she's like, nope, that's it. So she's done with her racing, which I mean, Indy 500, we thought about going to Road America this year, but some people are out that normally go, so we're gonna hold off.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm
be better.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's funny like how your wife like tried and she's not interested. And I know my dad told Frenchie this story a couple years ago when they met. I don't know if I ever told you. You might have heard this at some point, but for those listening, they'll appreciate it. So, you know, my dad, grandpa, and great grandpa all kind of volunteered part time for IndyCar as pit lane officials in some capacity until I was, I don't know, 6 or 7. My dad took my mom to the Indy 500 in the early 90s. I don't remember exactly what year. You were probably weren't alive yet. So, which is besides the point and depressing. And
hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
And so, you know, I think the reason why they went is he had some work clients or something that like really wanted to go. So my mom was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And I'm like, all right. So, you know, I'm like, mom, that's great that you went. My dad says like the first two laps of the race, like my mom looks over and she's like, holy shit, this is amazing. They are so fast. This is crazy. And my dad looks over again at my mom like five or six laps later, and he has to like look down because she's sitting down reading like a Cosmopolitan magazine. So it only took her like five laps to not be interested. And then it took another 20 plus years until like Baby Dave became, you know, a monthly co-host. For her and for me to be, you know, friendly with a couple of the other guys, for her to be like, oh, I want to like casually watch while my dad is watching to see how the people that like I know are doing. So like, did she watch this weekend? I doubt she sat there with my dad and watched it, but I also don't know for sure. But yeah, I don't blame your wife either sometimes.
Yeah, it probably didn't help that she was also pregnant and it was the 100th running, so we had to get up at like 5 a.m to park.
Yeah,
and then we, yeah, you know, sat there until 7 o'clock after just to not go out. Yeah, the, you know, half a million people.
Oh, so
I don't blame her. Me and the kids go out and have fun, so it's all that really matters. Trying to, yeah, get the youths.
The youths. I was walking the dog right before we recorded, and some like 12-year-old little brat was like running around with his friends and body checked me by mistake because he wasn't looking. And I didn't say anything because they're 12 and, you know, something like that and having fun. But like, did I have a moment in my head where I was like Clint Eastwood in that movie where he yells for people to get off his front lawn? 100%. I was very close to like old man yelling at the clouds. Like
I was about to say,
get out of here.
Old man host.
But I did not. I muttered it in my head because I was in a street and not in my apartment. So, you know, who knows who's staring out the window.
There's people outside of your apartment, just so you know.
You know, what's weird is like my neighborhood, despite being in the city, is really quiet. It's to the point where like I bumped into a friend Friday night in our hotel before the wedding, and he was like, oh, are you gonna renew your lease? And I was like, I don't know, it's like real ooh, well, it's, I'm gonna have to edit that one out. It's real.
It wasn't even me.
it's just so, sometimes it's like too quiet. Like I just want like a little, every once in a while in the morning, if I open my window, which is like over my shoulder here, there's some construction going on the street, which is about, I don't know, 100 yards behind me. And a construction worker will argue with like a car that wants to get by and can't get by because, you know, they're blocking the street for construction, which is awesome. But yeah, that's besides the point. All right, we've rambled on, and now I've given myself extra editing to do on top of that, which is not happening tonight because I'm going straight into bed in exactly 2 minutes. Hope you enjoyed the new sponsor read. I recorded that and put a lot of effort into it, so check it out. Make sure you check the links in the episode description for it each and every week going forward for the next 6 months at least. The more people who use one of our links to sign up, the happier they are. So please go check it out. And I'll see you soon.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.